Welcome to Create Your Own Light, where we harness our past, we embrace our future, and learn to conquer the roadblocks along the way together. I'm your host, Travis Howes. Let's get on with it. This episode is brought to you by YourWelder.com. YourWelder.com is an online directory of mobile welders. Whether at your home or at your industrial processing plant, we come to you. Our community of mobile welders can repair anything from the neighbor's mailbox that you just backed into or the cat bulldozer sitting on your job site. YourWelder.com is a directory of highly skilled professionals willing to help you on your job site on your timetable. YourWelder.com screens all of their welders using tools like photos from social media apps such as Instagram, Parler, and Facebook, even face-to-face meetups. YourWelder.com was built by actual industry welding experts who actually perform this type of work on a daily basis. And here's the best part. They're veteran-owned and operated. So go check them out at YourWelder.com. And also feel free to check them out on social media, where I'll include their links in the show notes. I hope everybody's doing good, man. I think this is episode 127. I didn't look before I hit the record button. I'm just out here at my farm. I'm excited to be back. I just got back from a wonderful conference up in Amboy, Illinois. And I'm home for 2 weeks before I go to Columbus, Ohio. I just got word this morning for the Phoenix Project that we're approaching sellout numbers in Columbus, Ohio, man. The Phoenix Project is a conference they put on annually up in that area. A bunch of first responders and family members are welcome to attend. All you got to do is register and come out, man, and you get some really good speakers. I'm not saying I'm a really good one, but I'll be there. But I know there's going to be some other good ones there. I'm actually doing the keynote this year. I think we're over 600 people already. We have 2 weeks to go, and it's looking like it's going to sell out. So if you hear this and you're anywhere near Ohio and you want to go to the Columbus area April the 26th, I'm in Ohio, and I'll be there doing probably about a two-hour keynote. I'll have some books on hand. I'll have some T-shirts on hand, and then I got to hop a plane, and I got to get back home for my daughter's birthday. So I promised her I would not travel on her birthday. So I'm going to be back at about 11 p.m. before it hits midnight on her birthday. So winner, winner, chicken dinner. I didn't fail her. So, man, I'm a big advocate of doing what you want to do in life and without making excuses. I'm one of those guys that when you want something, just do it. Go do it. Go do whatever it is that makes you happy, because, you know, I have I've always had this thing about me where I have a shortened foreseen future and I don't know how long I'm going to live. I've never thought that I'm going to live a long, prosperous life anyway. And a lot of that is due to the trauma that I have endured my entire life. And I've seen, you know, people's lives just snuffed out and cut short and all that. So it leaves me thinking, well, why not me? So having said that, I've always, like, if I wanted something, I do the best that I can to be, you know, financially, smart about the decision that I make. Well, today I did something dumb. I went out. You know, I want to build this barn on my farm. I've been dying to build a barn. I've had this farm for 4 years. We have a barn here, but I want to build like a big one, a 38 by 48 eight stall barn with a 14-foot aisleway all the way down the middle, with, you know, 12 by 12 stalls and all of this stuff for the animals. And I want to build it myself, because it's something that I'm one of those people that if I don't have something to do, I'm going to go crazy. And I'm out of things to do out here other than painting a fence. And I don't feel like painting a fence. I don't feel like cutting any more grass. I need a big project. I need something to marry myself to, something that's going to challenge me. So I'm going to build a big barn out of big lumber. And today I made the initial surge. And I bought my first round of my lumber, and it was ungodly expensive. Now, I'm the kind of person, I always do things at stupid times. Like, I wait for the absolute worst time to buy things. At the height of inflation, lumber prices, I go and buy lumber. I do dumb shit like that. But I also sit around and think, I'm like, dude, when do I want to enjoy this barn? Do I want to enjoy it now while I'm 46? I just turned 46 2 days ago, and I feel 87. But do I want to enjoy it now, or do I want to enjoy it when I'm 70? And my answer is I want to enjoy it right now. Now, obviously, my family, we're going to be able to eat tonight. So I'm not saying let your family do without and go buy a bunch of shit you don't need. But I do think there's a thing inside of some of us where we overplan and we try to overprepare and we try to make sure that everything is going to be perfect. And that's when we have to move forward on something. They just, like they say with children, there is no great time to have children. You just have the little motherfuckers and raise them the best you can and do the best you can. So that's what I decided to do with this barn. I went ahead, we cleared the land, you know, shit, 3 years ago, and then I had some site prep done a couple weeks back, and I kept coming out to my farm, and I kept looking at it, and I kept talking myself out of buying the lumber. I was like, you know, I need to wait because this is stupid. This is going to cost so much money. But you know what else it cost me? It cost me my happiness not doing it. It cost me my freedom, because without that, I'm just sitting in prison. I mean, I'm sitting here rotting, and I'm not doing what I want to do in life. And I think it's really important that we do the things that make us happy. So if this message resonates with you and you've been thinking about doing something for yourself, but you've been finding all the reasons to keep from taking care of yourself and doing something for yourself, fucking go do it. Go do something for yourself. Even if it causes a spat inside your home, all you just fellas, go tell your wife, look, Travis said it was all right and you're good to go. Ladies, tell your husband, Travis said it was all right. And we should be good to go. Just have them listen to this podcast, and the argument will die down quickly, I'm sure. Just kidding. You're probably going to be in a world of shit, but who cares? Because we're all going to die one day anyway, right? In 100 years, somebody is going to be living in our house, if these pieces of shit are still standing. Somebody is going to, your cars that you own now, all your possessions, your pictures, your heirlooms from your family, people are going to have these things, and they're not going to know whose hands touched them, who graced them. The things that I have from my grandfather, they die with me. Think about that. My grandfather is pretty much turns to dust when I die, because my kids do not have a direct relationship with him. They don't know him. There's not that that bond between them. They know of him, but I'm the last person that, like, the last bond in the chain with my grandparents. So when I die, they're gone. I mean, that's it. And that's going to be all of you one day. And we sit around and we try to make these decisions based on a future that's uncertain anyway. You know, we don't know if we're going to live to see that future. Just do the best you can. Set yourself up for as much success as you can, but fucking live a little bit in the process. You know, I don't do stupid things, because I've been wanting to buy a tour bus for I can't tell you how long. But I know that is probably the dumbest thing on earth that I could possibly do right now. And so I talked myself out of that. And I've been talking myself out of that for a couple of years. But all of a sudden, I took a step back and I said, you know what? I'm going to meet myself in the middle. I'm going to do something else that I want to do. And I'm going to build this damn barn. And it may take me 5 years to do it. And when I'm done with it, I'm going to be bored and need something else to do. But for the next 5 years, it gives me something to do. It's going to give me an escape. It's going to give me a challenge. So I'm excited about it. Let's get uncomfortable today. I want to talk about something that is going to rattle a bunch of nerves. It's going to piss a lot of people off, and it's going to leave a lot of people scratching their heads. And I want to talk about cheating on spouses in the first responder community. And I want to talk about the infidelity in the first responder community. And I want to talk about, a bunch of reasons. I want to talk about what goes on inside the minds of first responders and family members. What you will not hear me do is make excuses. You will not hear me justify it in any way, shape, or form. That's not what this is about. But I put up on my TikTok and Instagram the other day, I put a reel up about infidelity in the first responder community. And it was just a quick sound clip of my event. And I tell the story, if you've ever been to my events, I tell the story about what it was like walking in on a girl I was going to marry, and I was walked in on her having sex with someone, and it was not pretty. But I make fun of it. You know, I look back in life, and, you know, had that event not have happened in my life would have been in a different place, and I wouldn't have went on to live the life that I have. So I'm glad it happened. It's more of a perspective thing for me, but I'm not here to talk about perspective today. I'm actually talking about the epidemic outside of mental health that affects our households in the first responder community, and why we have rampant infidelity and why we're splitting up our homes. So Look, I'm only a man, and I can only speak from a man's point of view. I can imagine what it's like to be on the other side. And so I may not be able to talk about what it's like to be the wife of a first responder or the husband of a first responder. I can only talk about what it's like being a first responder. Now, I have been on the other side. I've actually been on it twice. And both times it stung really, really hard. And I think it jaded me. It numbed me towards the ability to have affection towards people. I think it jaded me to ever truly be able to get close to someone. I think having those experiences really affected my ability to give myself completely to another human being. Am I making excuses? No. I'm trying to figure out, just from my point of view, kind of why I'm the way that I am and why I have a hard time letting people close to me and, you know, in relationships because of that. Does that mean I don't love, you know, deeply? Absolutely not. It just means that, you know, been stung once, ouch, been stung twice, god damn, been stung three times, ain't gonna fucking happen. I mean, that's kind of how it is, right? I put this reel up, and for the most part, people were very responsive to it, and they were very positive about it. And there were a bunch of negative comments too, which I'm okay with, because I'm not one of those people, if you disagree with me, you're wrong. I mean, you're welcome to disagree all you'd like. But I feel like I need to come on here just in case some of those people do listen and shed a little light on it, because I only get 90 seconds on a reel to tell whatever it is I'm talking about. And a lot of times I'm just talking. I'm not really planning out what I'm about to say. And so I can't frame it perfectly. Not that I'm going to be able to frame it perfectly on here, but I think I can do a better job at covering the subject a little bit better. I know that a lot of us in this profession, we bring a lot of baggage with us, and we hide that baggage from people when we meet people that we potentially want to care about. And the reason that we do that is because we know that we want to love somebody, but we're afraid that we don't know how. And so what we do is we hide all of the bullshit in our lives, and we hide that from them. So what we do is we pretend to be something we really are not. We pretend to be this compassionate person. We pretend to be this fun person, this outgoing person, this optimistic person, when we know that we're not those things. We know we're pessimistic. We know that we don't want to be around people. We know we don't trust people. We know we've been hurt before, but we still lie to ourselves and tell ourselves, well, maybe not again. Let me try this. So the problem with that is it only lasts so long before you always go back to who you are. People, they say people don't change. I think people can alter behaviors and they can modify themselves, but overall, I think you are who you are. You know, we are all designed, we're all wired a certain way, and life wires us that way. So unless you go inside your brain and rewire yourself and like really do extensive behavioral therapy on things, people, you know, it's very hard for people to change. So what I'm getting at is this. I think I have this note that says the worst in me on my phone, and I know from my personal experiences that I always felt that relationships would bring out the worst in me over time, because I always felt like I was too much for somebody. After the new wore off and I could no longer hide the damaged person that I really was, I felt like the worst in me would always come out. And so the person, whoever I was involved with, their ability to see the best in me was no longer there. I just felt like people always saw the bad in me and the potential that I could do in a relationship, whether it be emotionally or just you know, whatever it is. And I never felt like I really, I shouldn't say felt like I had a fair shot, but I've always felt extremely prejudged because of who I am and what I've experienced, and especially how transparent I've been with things. So it's almost like you walk this tightrope and everybody's stepping back waiting for you to fuck up. And what they don't see is they don't see all the good that you do in your life. They don't see all the good that you stand for, and they don't see all the people that you help in life, and they don't see the good man or woman that you truly are. All they see is the faults in you. They see the way you speak. They see the way you act. They see the way that you can't tolerate society. They see how you are, like, in all those negative lights, but they don't appreciate the positive person and the wonderful attributes that you do bring to a relationship. So I want you to think about that. Over time, what that does to a man like me, or if a woman out there who's like me, if they always feel like their significant other never sees any good in them, then what's the fucking point anyway? So right there, you start creating distance for yourself. You start creating distance in a relationship because guess what? You don't feel appreciated for who you truly are. And you want to know the fastest route to infidelity? I truly believe the quickest route to infidelity is the loss of appreciation. I think that it's not even a physical attraction thing. I think physical attraction, man, you can get surgeries. You can do things. You can go to the gym. You can lose weight. You can gain weight. You can get a new smile. You can get your tits done, your ass done, your hips done, your neck muscles done. You can get fake calf implants. You can get shoulder and bicep implants. You can get pec implants. You can get your fucking outie belly button that looks like an ice cream cone from McDonald's. You can get that cut off and pushed in. Like physical things, your hair. You can grow your hair. You can cut your hair. You can change the color of your hair. You can put on fucking eyelashes that make you look like a stupid ass peacock. You can inject your lips so they look like somebody's inflated ass cheeks. Like you can do all of these things to your physical appearance. But when somebody doesn't feel appreciated, there is no fixing that. There's no coming back from lack of appreciation. When you do everything you can do for your family and you still come in the door at the end of the day, beginning of the day, whenever it is, and you just feel like someone that pays the rent at the house that keeps the lights on, and you don't feel like the man of the house, you don't feel like the woman of the house, you just feel like a person in that house, I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of the quickest routes to infidelity. I'm not excusing it, but I understand it a little differently. I do think that there's a connection there between two human beings. And that connection, once it's severed and that lack of appreciation is gone, you're opening the door for bigger problems. See, there's a saying, everybody wants what they don't have. Nobody appreciates what they do have. That goes for possessions, and that goes for relationships as well. And you got to find a way to appreciate the relationships you do have. And it brings me back to the point I was making earlier. I think that so many people see so much, or not so much bad, but they focus on the negative qualities of their significant other or their spouse versus stopping and focusing on the positive qualities, that the appreciation is eventually gone. And once that's gone, it's really hard to get back. Man, we have up to a 75% divorce rate. And that might even be a conservative number. Now, somebody challenged me the other day on on that divorce rate. And look, I'm not a guy that I don't do statistics. But I do speak to a lot of people. I hear a lot of statistics, so I generalize when I speak. I've heard it is as low as 60%, and I've heard it's as high as 85%. So I'm falling somewhere, you know, in between those numbers when I'm talking. Either way, even if it's 60%, let's just take the low side. If our divorce rate is 60%, okay, that's the couples that finally pulled the trigger and decided to walk away and try to do something better with their life, okay? Think about the amount of couples that stay together for the children. Think about the amount of couples that stay together for the finances. Think about the amount of couples that stay together just because it's the comfortable thing to do. So it's not like we have 100% of the miserable people getting divorced. We only have 60% of the miserable people getting a divorce. Now think about that. Our numbers are outrageous when it comes to unhappiness. And what do you think happens in these households with these families and these children, and these children see these situations. It impacts all of us. So how do we improve that? I think the hardest thing to do, and this goes back to what I talk about in post-traumatic purpose, is communicating with your spouse. It is absolutely communicating with them. You have to have extremely difficult like conversations. I'm not good at that. I'll be honest with you. I still try. I try to listen the best that I can. But man, it's hard to hear all the bad shit about yourself. It really, without getting defensive. It's difficult. Like, I do it, but it's very hard. When you feel like a spouse doesn't have your back, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and that's one of the big ones that I'll get, is they feel like their spouse just kind of like never sees things their way and always, always, always sees it the opposite way. If you start to feel like no one's in your corner, you start to feel alone. All right. I talked about this thing the other day where I was talking about, and this was on that reel where I said something like, understand that infidelity in this business, it's a trauma response. Now, that's all I said in the clip. So I guess some people took that as, well, that's your excuse, is a trauma response, so it makes it okay. And almost nobody said it was okay. But what I was trying to say is that in this business, we know we have a lot of people who are exposed to trauma. And in this business, we know we have a lot of people that think they're protecting their family by not talking to them, which is bullshit, by the way. Don't get me started. So what they don't do is they don't go home and they don't communicate with their family. So they start shutting down, and then distance starts creeping in. Okay. Then that lack of appreciation starts creeping in, because when you come home, you got nothing to talk to your spouse about. You're just a miserable, grumpy fuck, and you can handle it on your own. Cases show we cannot. Okay. But what we do is we end up finding somebody that we trauma bond with. And typically that can be someone of the opposite sex in the field that we work in, because guess what? They understand it differently. So what happens is you have a lot of people that work together and they don't set out to do this. It just happens. You naturally start bonding with people that understand you on a different level. And that's a deep, deep, deep level. If you think about it, it's a really deep level to understand somebody on. So then that trust, you start gaining trust with it, with somebody else, and you never set out to do that, but it starts happening. You're able to communicate with somebody else who understands and who gets you. And you know what they do? They laugh with you. They joke with you. They have a very similar sense of humor as you, and they make you feel like you are perfectly fine the way that you are. And it makes it hard to go home, because when you go home, the person that you are, it's either not enough or it's way too fucking much, but it's never right in the middle. It's never the sweet spot. And it's never you're the person that you are, and I love the person that you are, and I'm grateful for the person that you are. It's you yelled at my friends 2 years ago. You and my parents don't get along. You and my fucking siblings don't get along. You yelled at me 17 years ago, and I've never been able to get over that. You talked to somebody 8 years ago, and I've never been able to get over that. So all I see is the bad that you've done, and I do not appreciate the man or the woman that you are today. That's what going home for us feels like sometimes. And that, my friends, is where infidelity happens. I'd put money on this right now. I get thousands of downloads every week, all right, on these podcasts. I would be willing to bet 75% of the people that listen to this episode live in a house with somebody that they no longer have nothing in common with. They don't have anything to talk about. They possibly eat at separate locations in their home. They sit on separate furniture and they both watch their phones all night, or one of them sits in a different room than the other. Tell me you're not fucking roommates paying the same mortgage. Tell me your kids don't see that. When you get in the car and you go somewhere, you got nothing to talk about. Nothing. When you go to dinner, even if you try to do something as a couple and you go somewhere, All you want to do is get back home because you are uncomfortable being around this person because there's nothing to discuss. You've let too much space creep in between you. You've grown too far apart from lack of communication. And one of you is probably jaded at the other towards the other one because of who that person has grown into and who they've become. And the other one just tolerates it and won't leave because it's a comfortable situation. This is hard to hear, but I promise you, I'd be willing to bet 75% of the people that are listening to this episode will bombard my inbox and say, "You nailed it." And that's fucking sad, but that's us. That's who we are. I can't tell you what it's like. Well, I can tell you. You all get it. How many of you out there, when you're around your spouse's family, you feel like the ultra black sheep? You feel like anything you say, even your presence alone, is too much. Just the sight of you is too much. People don't have to tell you how they feel. You can feel it coming from them. You know when you're tolerated and you know when you're supported. You know when motherfuckers don't like you, but they smile in your face. You know that. And that's a shitty place to be in. It's one of the most uncomfortable places to be in. When you have a motherfucker smiling in your face, and you know in their heart they fucking despise who you are as a human being, but out of respect, you keep your mouth shut. Y'all know I ain't lying. And over time, you can't help but to feel a certain way. So you withdraw. And you don't want to be around those people anymore. It's a hard, hard place to be in that only few people understand. Everybody expects you to be something you're not, which is polite, fun to be around, well-spoken, soft temper, mild-mannered, you know, and all these things. They expect you to show up and be seen, not heard, and just be a part of the family. But they don't understand that they wouldn't last 3 fucking seconds in your profession. But your profession's not supposed to change you. And I'm not making that an excuse. I'm not making an excuse for it. People just don't understand what they're dealing with. And then what they want to do is they want to sit back and they want to judge a relationship with their family member that you're involved with. And you tell me that doesn't cause strain on your family? You tell me that anybody sitting out there has ever felt the family strain on your relationship with your spouse? You feel that shit. It plays into your marriage. You have to be able to speak with your spouse about this stuff. You have to be able to communicate openly with them. And you have to be able to set yourself up for success with your spouse, not their family. You know, I'm not trying to push people away from families, but I know we have a big problem with this, man, because people do not understand who we are. And then your integrity comes into question when there are infidelity issues involved there. You know, everybody looks at you like you're the monster, like you did this, you did that. But it takes two people to separate a household. That's what people don't understand. It's not always the first responder who's the bad guy. And I'm not picking sides here, and I'm not beating up on spouses. But when you're going to look at a situation, look at it like this. Like, what if these first responders are coming home injured? They don't want to talk about it. Yeah, the spouse, they have the hardest side of this, I think, is trying to work with something that's broken, and they have no instruction manual to fix it. Like, they just don't know what tools to use. They don't even know what tools they have access to. So it's difficult. But what they do is over time, they start shutting down. They start creating distance. There's spite there. There's resentment there. And then that first responder feels that too. And then what we do is we end up sitting on separate couches. We end up watching our own phones. We end up not having anything to talk about. And then what we have is we have one person go into their job, the other person go into their job. And before you know it, they each have somebody else to talk to somewhere else. somebody that accepts them for who they are, somebody that makes them feel like not only are they enough, they're perfect the way that they are. So how do we get back to building stronger families in the first responder community? How do we get back to, you know, your first responder is enough and you as their spouse, you are enough. And not only are you enough, you're perfect. You're perfect the way that you are. I think it comes down to acceptance, and it comes down to not tolerance, but support. Real support. Real support, not fake support. Fake support is nothing but tolerance. I know what tolerance looks like and feels like, and I know what real support looks and feels like. And tolerance can be masked for support, and you got to understand the difference. You got to be able to bring your family together, and it takes communication to do that. It takes difficult communication to do that. The first thing that somebody wants to do when they found out there was infidelity is they want to fucking just scorch the earth. But they never want to like understand. This is what I've learned over the years. People want to scorch earth. They want to know who. They want to know fucking where. They want to know all these things. But they don't really want to know the truth as to why. And if there's brutal honesty about the whys, they can't handle it. Because there has to be some level of responsibility on both sides. I'm not saying all the time. Because sometimes there are perfectly good people on one side and somebody just fucks up on the other side. Okay, so I'm not taking sides. I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to have an uncomfortable conversation to get people thinking. But if that has happened in your life, and I say this, man, because if y'all knew the messages that I get from this stuff, it's scary. It bothers me. But instead of scorching earth, what if we sat down and we're like, all right, let me focus on what I may have done that maybe have assisted in pushing this person to the point of this. And maybe you did nothing. But what if you did? Would you still scorch the earth the same way? What if this person was coming home to you every day, and over the years, you got tired of the person that was coming through the door? You got tired of looking at them. You got tired of seeing them, and they could feel that and they could see it. You never defended this person. You never had their back. You didn't include yourself in activities that they did want to do. And that person feels that. And this goes on for months. It goes on for weeks. It goes on for years. And then all of a sudden, they start communicating with somebody else because they can't communicate with you. Because you two don't know how to communicate anymore. You're just letting this thing slide. And then you're surprised when something happens like that. You're surprised when you find out that they weren't faithful. Being faithful to what? The vows? The vows that you said years ago that for better or for worse, I get it. Get upset if you want to while you're listening to this, but or open up your fucking mind a little bit and listen to what I'm telling you. We are human beings. We are wired for relationships. We are wired to procreate. And I'm not trying to get weird, but let's think about this sensibly. No excuses. None. I'm not making any excuses. So don't fucking attack me on goddamn comments about this shit. It's not. But we are wired for that anyway. So why not nourish our relationships so our partner who is wired for this stuff doesn't feel the need to drift, doesn't feel the need to have to get that validation from somewhere? Because you know all of our brains are wired for this. Some of us are not wired as aggressively as others. Some of us are saints. Some of us are sinners. Okay? But we're all wired for relationships and for procreation and all this stuff. So if we know that, Why do we purposely put distance between ourselves and our spouse? And why do we resent them when they come home, when they've had a bad shift, when they don't want to talk to anybody, instead of like saying, hey, today, motherfucker, me and you, we're going to sit down and we're going to start talking about how you've gotten to this point in your life where you come home and you're so unhappy all the time. I want to understand you. And I don't want to just understand you. I want to put in the work to help the situation. Because I know if it continues, you're going to be that much more unhappy later on in life. And where's that going to get us? Our children are seeing it. And if that person is still too stubborn to sit down and talk with you about it, they might be too far gone anyway. So then you got a question to ask yourself. Why the fuck are you in a relationship with someone who's not going to contribute in a healthy manner to your family? Is it safety? Is it security? If it is, then don't be mad at that person when they step out on you, because you're just using them any fucking way. But we want to go straight to butt hurt every time somebody steps out, somebody does something, gets attention from another species, another human being. We want to get all our feelings in a knot. We want to go fucking ballistic, blow up somebody's car, shoot up the fucking town, you know, curse them for every that piece of shit motherfucker, then go run their name through the mud with your family, and now everybody hates them or her, and then they can feel that when the family's around and all that, and they don't realize it took two fucking people to get to that place. Something has to change, people. If nothing changes, everything stays the same. You got to have hard conversations. You know, I always promote growth, and I talk about healing from a post-traumatic stress point of view and mental wellness standpoint. But you also, for growth, if you're in a relationship with someone, there's a thing called personal fucking accountability. And you got to understand what that is, and you got to understand there's some things that typically both sides need to be accountable for, not just one side. It can't just be finger pointing. And when you sit down and you find that accountability without like pointing fingers at one another, I guarantee you on paper, you can probably realize why somebody in your life stepped outside of your relationship. Again, I'm not making any justifications. But I get inundated with emails from people about this stuff. And I didn't know how to talk about it because it is uncomfortable. I didn't want to talk about this stuff because it is uncomfortable. But that's when I realized I need to, because nobody else is doing it this way. Everybody else has the answers. I don't have any fucking answers. Everybody else kind of dances around certain things. I'm not dancing around shit. We got great people out there doing a fantastic job, doing careers that nobody wants, staying up late nights, days, going into harm's way for people, and then they're coming home, and there's no appreciation for them there either. What do you think that person's going to do after overtime? And let's say there is appreciation at home. Let's say you're totally blindsided because somebody, you know, you're in a relationship with somebody and you're just totally fucking blindsided by it. Well, you know what? I don't know what to tell you in that case. But I do know, looking at the numbers, if we're looking at 65% of marriages on the low side, 60%, 65%, whatever, divorce rate, all right, I'm willing to bet most of those are probably from infidelity issues, most of them. And then you think about the people that stay married and there's all that shit going on too. There's reasons for it. This isn't just happenstance. These people, their brains are affected in these professions. Spouses, I want you to listen, and I don't want you to get mad at this podcast. That's not what this is about. I don't want you to be sitting there shaking and thinking you did something wrong. That's not what we're saying here. You can actually help your first responder by trying to understand. Don't live a pretend life. Well, no, he leaves work at work, and yep, and that's the first way to get stepped out on, all right? You need to bring work home, and you need to talk about it, and you need to be comfortable with it. Whoever made that rule a long time ago, you leave work at work and home at home, they're full of shit. That's somebody that was literally trying to leave their home life at home while they went to work, and they were appreciated by the person at work, and they didn't want to talk about their home life because it made it too uncomfortable, and they were able to foster a relationship with that person at work because they left their home life at fucking home. Do you understand? And then that work relationship they have with somebody, they leave work at work, and then they go home. If you can't talk to your family, and you can't talk to the people that you're supposed to love the most and protect the most with everything that you got in you, you're living a lie. I don't care what kind of man you are. I don't care how many combat tours you got, how many fires you went into, how many police shootings you've been involved in. I don't care how much CrossFit you do, what big burly fucking man you are. If you can't talk with your family, the people that you are supposed to protect with your life, if you can't talk to them, you are living a lie, and that you're lying to yourself. You are propping yourself up to be something more than what you really are, and you're so afraid of vulnerability, you are willing to lose everything that you love. That is the truth. That is the truth. And the unfortunate part about that is most people like us would rather die than be vulnerable with anybody. Because that is true danger for us. And once we start facing true danger, the vulnerability in our lives, that's when you start growing. That's when you start really finding joy in your life. That's when you want to be a good father and a good husband and all these things. That's when you start seeing that stuff grow despite some of the mistakes you may have made in your life. You want to get away from those mistakes, start growing as a man, start growing as a woman, start accepting responsibility for shit, and start working on your ability to communicate with your family. You would be surprised at the things that would change for the better in your life if you could take off that bullshit coat of armor that you wear at home and set it in a fucking closet and just talk. Go be Superman at work. Don't be that at home. There's a time and a place for it. I suggest you figure out those times and those places. I tell you, the ones that get me are the ones you always have friends. Well, not you have friends, but spouses or whatever. Whoever's been wronged, whichever side of it is, they always have friends on the other side that want to talk shit about the other party. And that makes it hard too. People are so quick to sit on their couch and talk shit and talk about what horrible person somebody is for what they did to the other person. And these motherfuckers got the same stuff going on in their life, and they're doing the same exact thing. And the reason that it makes them feel good is sitting back and talking about what a horrible person somebody else is. So you need to take that with a grain of salt, too. When you're hearing people's friends talk shit, or if you have a spouse and their friends all caught wind that maybe you slipped up, you made a mistake, and y'all are having problems, them motherfuckers have problems, too. I promise you that. It's ridiculous, man. People act like they got their lives together. Everybody's fucked up. Everybody's fucked up. Even the ones out there going to church on Sundays, living the perfect fucking lives. I promise you that his wife is probably pegging him in high heels, and they got a secret, and they're keeping that shit in the closet somehow. You know what I mean? You're going to sit back and judge somebody for their life. This motherfucker wearing his wife's panties on the weekends. You know what I mean? And they're going to sit there and talk shit about your indiscretions. Come on, man. Got a little heated there for a second. Excuse me. I go to some places in my mind sometimes, man. I think if you could just focus on your own stuff is what I'm getting at. and let other people focus on their own stuff. Because you know what it feels like when you've done something and everybody else knows about it, and then you have to go interact with those people. You know how uncomfortable that is. And then, yeah, you reap what you sow kind of thing. I get it. But ain't nobody sitting around that's judging you and they're perfect. It's just not happening. You know what I mean? And that's what I was getting at. It's the dude that his wife's got the damn 14-inch strap-on dildo underneath the goddamn dresser with her lipstick, and that bitch comes out on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights and pegs old boy, you know, in his ass, and they're sitting there gonna talk shit. Hey man, go on. You got your problems too. You got your things. Like, stop it, you know. But, you know, somebody could hear that and go, but you know what? That's an agreement between them two. And if that's what they have, that's what they, and I get it. I get it. Who are you to judge? Like, I'm just trying to tell you everybody has their shit, you know. It's so weird when you sit here and just talk to a computer screen about this. This will be like, I'm looking, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 chairs around my farm table right here. And if we had people in all 6 of these chairs, this conversation would be off the rails right now. We could be having a lot of fun with this. How do you just glaze over the fact that you just called motherfuckers out for having a 14-inch dildo underneath the dresser with the wife's lipstick and panties? Like, how do you just glaze it? I'll tell you how you glaze over that. You glaze over it when you're the only person talking in the room and there's nobody in here. This is how strange it's gotten. All right. I guess I'm done for today. I don't really know how you follow that. So I hope that helped. I hope it shed just a little bit of light, because I'm actually going to start talking about this stuff more in post-traumatic purpose. I'm trying to find a place to insert it in my courses, and I think I found a good spot, but it's so delicate. Like, it's such a delicate, this is harder for me to talk about than suicide. And it's because people get so defensive with this stuff, and people want to, you know, people go straight to victim. Oh, well, he or she did this to me, blah, 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 blah. Well, what the fuck did you do, motherfucker? Like, how did you accommodate the situation? Did you help push it there? And you're not taking any accountability, because I promise if you sit back and look at it, chances are you might have not been as perfect as you think so. Now, I'm not saying that's not the case. That's the case for everybody. But, you know, there are things. There are signs that spouses will throw out signs. And they're just overlooked. And they're overlooked. And they're overlooked. And they're overlooked. And they're overlooked. And then they're overlooked. And they're overlooked again. And over time, somebody's like, you know what? She or he don't give a fuck anyway. You know, I'm just a person that keeps the lights on, you know. I want y'all to think about that. So sit back today and ask yourself, all right, do I truly appreciate my spouse? And if I do they know that? How do they know that? If the answer is yes, how do they know that? Is it because of your words? Because your words don't mean shit. It's your actions. Do you show it to them? How do you show it to them? I want you to think about that. When's the last time you walked up to your spouse and you just gave them a hug and you looked them in the face and said, I appreciate everything you do for this family. And I'm sorry if I've ever not showed you how appreciative I am, but I hope you know in your heart and in your soul that I appreciate you more than anything, because we wouldn't be here without you, and we can't do this without you. You want to watch a motherfucker crumble? Go say that. They won't even have words. And you know what? Chances are, if you've been in a relationship where they do not feel appreciated for any length of time, they're probably going to blow that off and be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Because they don't believe it. And that's the truth. That is the absolute truth. And then so I do know some spouses quit trying because they also understand their husband or their wife has that kind of personality where they're just going to brush off everything. Well, there's a reason why they do that. There's a reason why. Chances are there's something in your relationship that's gotten them to that point where they don't believe the good stuff that you tell them anyway. So instead of telling them, show them. Do something at the house that you normally don't do that you think maybe a wife or a husband should do. And don't go in there and say, see what I did. Just go do something nice. And then do it again. And then do it again. And make it a habit. And why don't you put your fucking phone down and go sit next to somebody on the couch and be like, you want to watch something? Or why don't you get your dinner plate and go sit next to your spouse and ask them about their day and hold their hand and truly ask them about their day? Why don't we try that and let the kids see it? And let the kids see you doing something nice for your wife or husband. Switch up your routine. You know, it may take a long time. I don't know how much damage is done in your relationship, but it may take a long time for the other side to even start coming around. But after a while, they'll see you doing things differently. They'll see that effort that you're actually making. How do you not appreciate that? We could go on and on, man. I appreciate the support. I really do. I hope to see some of y'all in Columbus, Ohio, April the 26th. We also added a few more seats for Central South Carolina, May the 11th. We're over 1,300 registered. So go to my site. I think we have about 10 left if you want to register for that event. That's going to be a massive one. We have Abington, Massachusetts is sold out, but they have a wait list. They're going to be releasing some tickets, so go there, jump on the wait list. We also have Amherst, Virginia in May. That one's sold out. And we have, dude, shit, we're booking in 2026 now. This is insane. I never thought it would get to this. I never thought it would be to this level. I have people that answer phones now. It's insane. I have people that do tour management stuff for me, logistics stuff for me now. Somehow I was a guy in a training room next to a coffee pot that decided to start doing this and talking about this, and it has turned into what it's turned into. And that's not because of me. It's because of every single one of you that have, you know, supported this mission that I'm on. And I don't know where it ends. I'm just glad to be a part of it. I really want to get this second book out to you guys. I really do. I'm trying to work on it, but you can imagine. I get people that ask all the time about this second book, and it's just so difficult to write this. You know, I have a full-time farm, I have a full-time family, I'm on full-time tour, so I do the best that I can, and it's I just got to slow down a little bit, and I'm trying to build a fucking barn, so I got to slow down a little bit and try to figure out how to do that. But I know that I'm going to die one day, and I don't want to slow down, and that's part of my problem, is I'm trying to get as much out of this life as I possibly can, and I don't want 5 minutes of just sitting idle, because I know one day I'm going to be on that deathbed, and if I could add up all the cumulative time that I just sat somewhere not doing something, it's probably going to equal like a year or two, and that alone makes me sick, because if I could have that time back, I would hug my wife, I would hug my kids, I would hug my mother, I would hug my father, I'd tell everybody how much I love them, and I'd try to use that time to show them how much I love them versus walking around being pissed off. I hope this episode helped y'all. I love y'all, each and every one of you. If you don't have my current book, it's on my website. I get bombarded with those questions, and I appreciate them. It's really hard for me to answer. I'm over 4,000 something messages in my inbox right now. Like literally, that's one platform. That's not even the TikTok platform, which is more than that, because I have way more followers on TikTok than Instagram. And I think I'm like 5,000 or 6,000 messages on TikTok. So you can imagine how hard it is to get back to all of those. So I come on here and I just try to spit hot fire, and I try to give it to you straight. But if you want my book, you can go to Amazon and get it. Or I'm happy to personally sign one for you when I see you. I'm also working on doing an online store. So logistically, I'm just a little challenged with that right now. I'm trying to set up an online store so I can actually start sending out signed copies of my books to people that would like them. And I get a lot of requests for my No One Gets Left Behind t-shirts. So that way I could package those up and send them out from home when I am home. So that's not ready yet, but when it is, you'll be the first to know. I love y'all. Thank y'all for the support. I'll see you soon.